I'm Chris Boyd. Up next, the race to become the next mayor of Dallas.
My name is Eric Johnson, and I am a son of Dallas. And that is important to me because this city is in my heart. I love it. And I'm going to give every ounce of me and everything I have, every skill I've acquired.
I'm Scott Griggs, and I would like to serve you as the next mayor of the city of Dallas. I'm a lifelong resident, and I absolutely love this city. And on day one, I'm ready to tackle our issues.
The two remaining candidates squared off in a debate on Thursday, May 23rd. This hour, we'll hear their conversation moderated by KERA's Sam Baker. KERA's special broadcast of the Dallas mayoral debate after this news. In the last 8 years, Dallas has faced its share of challenges, from Ebola to the shooting deaths of five police officers to scandals that landed two former city council members in prison. And that's in addition to the ongoing challenges of being the nation's ninth largest city, potholes in the streets, an affordable housing crunch, the longstanding north-south divide. I'm Chris Boyd. Mike Rawlings has guided Dallas through those 8 years as mayor, and term limits mean he has to step down. Between now and the June 8th runoff, Dallas voters will select a new leader. Earlier this month, a crowded field of nine candidates was narrowed to two, State Representative Eric Johnson and Dallas City Councilman Scott Griggs. Today we bring you the May 23rd debate. It was sponsored by the Jewish Community Relations Council of the Jewish Federation of Greater Dallas. The debate was moderated by Sam Baker. He's host of KERA's Morning Edition, and it took place at the Aaron Family Jewish Community Center.
I want to thank you all for being here, and a special thank you, of course, to Representative Johnson and Councilman Griggs for your time. The rules for this debate will be very simple. Each candidate will have up to 2 minutes per question. There'll be an optional 30-second rebuttal to use as needed. We'll begin with some questions I have, but we'll also take some of your questions from the audience as well. Near the end of our forum, each candidate will have 1 minute each for closing remarks, but we begin with opening remarks at a minute each. The coin's been tossed, and so we'll start with Councilman Griggs.
Well, good evening. Can you all hear me okay? Does it sound all right? All right. Well, my name's Scott Griggs, and I'm running to be mayor of the city of Dallas. I'm a lifelong Dallasite, and I love this city. I grew up in North Dallas, went off to school at Texas A&M, then the University of Texas. I was so fortunate to convince my girlfriend at the time, who became my fiance and wife, Mariana, who's here, to move back to Dallas. And for the last 17 years, we've lived in Oak Cliff. We have three beautiful children, 5, 3, and 1. And we live with one dog, 3 cats, and 7 chickens. So it's a house full of life. And I'm running to be mayor because I have more faith than ever in the people of the city of Dallas. Over the last 8 years, I've had the opportunity to work with all of you. And it's been fantastic. And on day one, I'm ready to go on what we need to do. Taking care of public safety, transportation, housing, economic development. I'm ready to serve you. I look forward to earning your support tonight and the conversation. Thank you.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you very much, Sam. Good evening, everyone, and thank you so much for being here and spending some time on a weekday to listen to two people who care very deeply about the city talk about our different visions for being the leader of the city. My name is Eric Johnson, and I'm running for mayor of Dallas. I'm currently a state representative, and I represent one of the most diverse house districts in the entire state that encompasses a large portion of our southern, eastern, and western parts of our city. I'm very, very, very grateful for the opportunity to stand before you today as a candidate. I was born and raised in Dallas in some very adverse circumstances. I grew up in a tough neighborhood in West Dallas and later Oak Cliff, but I was fortunate enough to get a scholarship to the Green Hill School in the second grade, and it changed my life. It exposed me to a lot of things. I got a great education. I was able to go off and acquire more education, and my goal is to make sure that those opportunities are available to more kids, not because they have to go to a Green Hill to get those opportunities, but because they can go to our public schools and grow up in a city that supports them with strong recreation centers and strong public libraries. So with that being said, I look forward to a robust discussion. Thank you.
Okay, let's move on. First question, Representative Johnson, you certainly have legislative experience, but Councilman Griggs has direct experience in dealing with city policy and budgeting. So why should people ignore that to vote for you?
Well, I don't think they should ignore it. I think they should compare it, and I think they should compare it in a very intelligent and robust way. The experience that I have in the state legislature is very relevant to what we do in the city of Dallas. Writing a budget is a complex operation. I've written budgets that are $220 billion compared to a $3 billion budget at the city of Dallas. So that's a comparable experience where I've been doing some very complex budget writing. And I've also legislated in areas that are very relevant to the city of Dallas. I've legislated in the space of affordable housing. I've legislated in the area of financial services and trying to make alternatives to payday lending and things that we've been trying to attack at both the state and the local level. So I think I have very comparable experience on some local issues that are important. But the most important type of experience is not necessarily the substance, it's actually the style. My experience in Austin has taught me, and I've been a very collaborative leader there. My reputation is that I work very well with people on both sides of the aisle and from different parts of our state, and that's something I'll continue as mayor. If I'm fortunate enough to be elected mayor, what I can assure you is I will continue to legislate and govern the way I have for the past 10 years. I really do believe something that my grandmother told me when I was little. She used to always say, yeah, a leopard doesn't change its spots. And what she meant by that is that, you know, you are what you are. And what I've been for the past 10 years is someone who consistently has gone out of his way to try to work with others and try to find commonalities and work with people to get things done. I'm not known as a divisive person. I'm not known as someone who's difficult to work with. I'm known as quite the opposite, and I've been very effective. That is something that we need in the city of Dallas. We need to lower our property taxes in this city. We need to hire more police and fire in the city. We need to do a lot of things that actually my opponent and I both agree on, but those things don't just happen in a weak mayor form of government, in a council manager form of government. You have to be able to work with other people. You have to be able to convince people to join with you and be able to deliver votes. You have to be able to get 8 votes minimum to get something done, and I've consistently shown my ability to do that with larger differences between myself and my colleagues than exist on the current city council. Thank you.
Councilman Griggs, for all that direct experience in dealing with city policy and budgeting, the current mayor, 3 former mayors, 7 of your fellow council members, and a number of other elected officials have backed the legislature. So why should voters put that aside in your favor?
Well, I have a record of accomplishment here in this city and a record of getting things done. That is my style. I get things done. And I'm honored to have a former Secretary of State endorse me, former Congress member, former members of the Dallas City Council, current members of the Dallas City Council, and current and former members of the DISD board, as well as, just as importantly, neighborhood leaders throughout this city. And so you can just look at the record. From everything when I got on the council for taking on the tough issue of group homes, helping making those dignified and decent places to live, to more recently, police pay. When this last budget, we were paying our police officers $48,000. I helped build a consensus and worked on a team on the Dallas City Council to raise that pay from $48,000 to $60,000 by finding the necessary cuts in the budget. And that's gone a long way to improve public safety, which is one of my top priorities. We have to maintain this culture of safety in the city of Dallas. We cannot let that erode. So that's why that's a priority. Another example I've led on. At one time, it's hard to believe, but we wanted to bring dangerous gas drilling into our city parks and many of our neighborhoods on the west side of the city of Dallas. Worked on a team building a consensus at the city council to defeat that. Also, what I've done is I've called out different projects. We recently went through Visit Dallas, where we learned about the group that was taking $30 million of our taxpayer money. And the audit showed they didn't have any metrics to show how they were spending the money. The CEO is making $700,000 a year, taking outrageous trips, and then on top of that had received a $400,000 unsecured loan of taxpayer money. I called for that person to set aside and for the organization to turn around. That's the type of leader that I am and I will be as mayor. Thank you.
All right, next question here, and we will start with you, Councilman Griggs. Mm-hmm. We've seen a spate of recent attacks around the world and in the U.S. on religious communities, including the Jewish community. As mayor, how will you address safety of all citizens in both places of worship and elsewhere, a problem compounded locally by a shortage of police officers?
Increasing the number of police officers. Public safety is my number one priority. That's why I've been endorsed by the Dallas Police Association, as well as the Dallas Firefighters. That is what we have to do. And my plan is to increase pay. Just like in the last budget, I found the money to increase pay from $48,000 to $60,000. It's time to get our pay up closer to $72,000. We just are not paying our police officers enough. That's why we're not able to attract and retain. And so I'm focused on that. I'm also focused on their health care. The benefits we give our officers are not enough. One story I heard from talking to a firefighter who'd been here for 30 years. The day before he retired, for him, his wife, and his daughter, he's in his 50s, $450. The day after he retired, Billy's insurance went up to $1,650. We're essentially, their entire pension is being spent on health care, and that's why our senior officers and firefighters are leaving the city, so I intend on addressing that. Also, to make everyone feel safe, I will speak out, just like I did this last week when the president of Brazil came here, Bolsonaro. I said publicly on social media that we should not welcome him into our city because of his track record in Brazil of going after minorities, of not being friendly to the LGBTQ community, and going after the environment. It takes that kind of leader to say some people in this city are not welcome because of what they stand for and their discrimination against people. So that's the kind of leader I am on those issues. And I will welcome people to the city of Dallas that share our same values. We're a welcoming community. And we do not tolerate any discrimination. So leaders that come from other countries, other states, other places that tolerate discrimination are not welcome to me in the city of Dallas. And that's why I sent that message to the president of Brazil and joined so many people in the city of Dallas by saying that's not right. So public safety is a priority for me. And I intend on continuing my practice of speaking out when people come to the city of Dallas that do not share our values.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you for the question, Sam. I think it's a very timely question given what's going on in our community with some attacks on the transgender community, the uptick in hate crimes we've seen all across the country. I think it's a great question, and I don't think anyone's asked that in the entire course of this mayoral campaign that I've been a part of. So I will say this. First and foremost, I think the police issue is something that we both agree on. I don't think there was a single candidate during the entire course of this campaign that didn't believe that we needed to hire more police. We have different ideas about, you know, which is a bigger problem, the pay or the morale, what combination of it. But I think we all agree that we need to hire more police officers and that some combination of increasing their salaries and working on the morale issue that they've told me and I think they told most candidates is plaguing the department. We agree there. So I won't spend too much time on where there's so much agreement. But here's something that I think is an important point to make. And look, it's not a secret. I'm African American. I think you can see that. I'm from a community that has dealt with this issue of hate and discrimination for a long, long time. And what I think is missing in this discussion sometimes is that the way you have to deal with hate is you have to be proactive about dealing with it. The police focus is great and important, but that's reactive. Police respond once something has happened, once a synagogue has been desecrated and vandalized, once someone has been dragged through the street or beaten up. They respond to something that's already gone wrong. Proactively, we need a mayor who's going to stand up and talk about these issues and push forward initiatives that bring people together and bring back some of those conversations that we were having in this city about being a more united city and breaking down barriers and differences between North and South and white and black and poor and rich. And I'm one of those people who I believe has lived that life. It's not just a theory to me. My life has been bridging that gap, and as mayor, I will speak to that every single day. Thank you.
Okay. Just as a quick thing, I'll give you 30 seconds, and Councilman Griggs, you can respond to it if you like. For you, Representative Johnson, yeah. You agree we need more officers. How are you going to pay for it?
Well, the issue of paying for police is something that I think has not gotten the depth of discussion that it needed during the course of this campaign. The reality is public safety takes up a large percentage of any major urban city's budget. And in the case of Dallas specifically, it's already 60% of the budget. The only way we're going to actually significantly increase police pay and make their salaries more secure and their pension more secure and everything else that we need to do on the benefits and compensation side is to grow our tax base and raise more tax revenue that way.
Councilman Griggs.
I can find the money in the existing budget to raise police pay. I've demonstrated that at Dallas City Council working, a raise from $48,000 to $60,000 with a 3% across-the-board raise was about $16, $17 million. I have the skill and the experience to find that in our $1.3 billion general fund. If you know how the general fund works in the budget, you can find $16, $17 million. I demonstrated this last budget cycle, and I intend to do it again as mayor. That'll be a top priority, raising the pay up close to $72,000.
I'm Chris Boyd, and you're listening to a special broadcast of the May 23rd Dallas mayoral debate between Dallas City Councilmember Scott Griggs and State Representative Eric Johnson. We'll return after a short break. I'm Chris Boyd, and today we're listening to a special broadcast of the May 23rd Dallas mayoral debate between State Representative Eric Johnson and Dallas City Councilmember Scott Griggs. The event was moderated by Sam Baker, host of KERA's Morning Edition. Let's return now to the Aaron Family Jewish Community Center.
Mayor Rawlings has touted the success of his Grow South initiative, but Representative Johnson, where do you think it's fallen short?
Well, Grow South was brilliant in one key respect, and it's a great segue from the last response I just gave. It's about increasing the tax base in the southern part of our city that's been very anemic for too long. And what I mean by this tax base is everyone who lives in the city of Dallas or runs a business that's in the city of Dallas is paying property taxes right now to generate a certain amount of revenue. And every time we lose someone from the city of Dallas, you know, who goes and relocates to some other city, or we don't have people coming in, we're asked to pay more and more taxes individually to pay for these things like more police officers. The only way to get out of that rut is to actually start to attract more businesses to our city and more people back to our city. And the way we're going to do that, if I'm mayor, is to improve our workforce so that companies want to be here. They want to be near our workforce. So Grow South started the conversation about developing our southern part of our city, but it was focused a lot on projects, deals, real estate transactions. It needs to be more focused, in my mind, in its second iteration, which is, and I have pledged to continue Grow South. I don't care what we call it, but the concept of looking at the southern part of our city, I want to continue, but not because it's a charitable thing to do, but because it's the only way we actually can grow out of our current tax rut. And what we are going to do in the second phase of Grow South 2.0 or whatever we want to call it, is we are going to focus on workforce development. We are going to put as many unemployed and underemployed individuals who live in the southern part of our city through community college or through some sort of training so they actually can learn skills like cybersecurity, artificial intelligence, healthcare-related services, the areas of our economy that are growing the fastest but that don't require a four-year degree at all. They just require a few months of community college or maybe a year or two at the most, and then they could be making significantly more money. Once they are making more money, the development and things that we want to happen in the South will actually naturally follow, because these types of projects tend to follow disposable income. So that's the formula. The formula is give people more wealth, give them more income, and the development will follow. And that's the new phase of Grow South.
Councilman Griggs.
Yes. Well, I live in Southern Dallas, and the biggest success of Grow South was renaming Southern Dallas. It used to be referred to all the time as Southern Sector, and no one really likes to live in a sector. So that was a great effort to rename it Southern Dallas. It's very much needed. And I've also seen over the Bishop Arts District. Has anyone been in the Bishop Arts District? I would say that is the largest success story for economic development in Southern Dallas in the last decade. And I've been a big part of that even before I was on the Dallas City Council helping that out. So what I want to do is continue that formula of success in the Bishop Arts District and apply it to other parts of Southern Dallas. That formula is use small projects. So often with Grow South, we focus on one giant project that's $100 million. But with that money, you could do $52 million projects, which is what Bishop Arts was. So we start off with improvements between the buildings, nice streets, nice sidewalks, street trees. People love it. They get pride in their community. It benefits the local landowners, which in turn also benefits the locally owned businesses, which benefits the people who work in the various stores, which are local employees, so it creates a local economy. And that gets going, and then what we see is institutional money come over. So it's a great formula for success. We used it in the Bishop Arts District, and then I also used it on Jefferson. You've got to check out Jefferson, see the new streetscape on Jefferson, the new sidewalks, how that part is coming to life. And we can repeat this throughout Southern Dallas. Also, education is going to be a priority. We need to continue to work with DISD, Duncanville Independent School District, all the school districts, RISD, and make sure that we have all-day universal pre-K for our kids. That's so important. And then work with the Dallas County Community College District and their new bond program that we all just approved to help build the technical schools that we want to see. They're going to take on computer programming and coding and all the jobs of the future. That's how we're going to continue to grow South.
Councilman Griggs, Dallas is a segregated city. This is a question from the audience. Dallas is a segregated city. How will you address the ghettoization of Section 8 housing to facilitate an integrated city?
Yes. Many years ago, when I got on the Dallas City Council in 2011, we didn't have a housing policy. I got to be chair of the Housing Committee for 2 years, from 2015 to 2017. And in 2015, I said, we are experiencing a housing crisis in the city of Dallas, and we're not going to be able to get out of it unless we have a comprehensive housing policy. So I went about the work of starting to create that policy, which has several goals. One of them is to increase and maintain the stock of affordable housing in the city of Dallas. The other goal is to offer people more choice on where to live, and then to identify neighborhoods in the city of Dallas that have been long neglected. The city has not put necessary infrastructure into them. Then we went about a data-driven approach called a market value analysis to have data that supported this. And a big part of it that addresses the question is what's called source of income discrimination. For far too long in the city of Dallas, we've had all the Section 8 housing go just to a couple parts of town. And so we want to end that and end source of income discrimination. So what we're doing at City Council and what we passed in the comprehensive housing policy is when developers come, particularly in high desirable areas like downtown and uptown, these developers always want a little bit more height. You can never get tall enough building for them. So now in exchange for the height, they have to set aside some units as affordable and accept housing choice vouchers. That way we can start to deconcentrate the concentration of housing choice vouchers in the city of Dallas. That's an innovative program. Another innovative program we have that's in the comprehensive housing policy that I helped create is called the Master Lease and Mobility Assistance Program. We have so many people in the city of Dallas that have housing choice vouchers. They just cannot find an apartment to accept them. So the city of Dallas will work with the Dallas Housing Authority to help find these apartments that can accept the vouchers. Then we'll help the voucher holders with the paperwork and the move-in expenses and get them in a place that they want to live that has higher opportunity and choice. So that's another innovative program we have to help with the issue of concentration of vouchers in the city of Dallas.
Representative Johnson.
This is a matter of accuracy. This is my understanding about the housing policy. You've talked a lot about it. You've taken a lot of credit for it, and I want to be respectful of you, but I also want to be accurate. It's my understanding that you were chair of the Housing Committee from 2015 to 2017, but that the housing policy was actually developed and finalized under your successor, Tonell Atkins. So I never really hear you mention as being part of this, but he was the chair of the Housing Committee, is my understanding, when we actually implemented and developed the policy and voted on the policy. So I think we got to share more of the credit with people who actually were instrumental in the process. There was a different chairperson who actually completed this work, but it's important work. And I think that the issue that we are dealing with when it comes to developing affordable housing anywhere, Section 8 or otherwise, is a certain amount of NIMBYism in the city. And we have to deal with that issue head on. And we have to change the culture of City Hall to a certain degree. And I've had this conversation with actually many current and former council members, and they agree. Right now, too much of a percentage of individual council members' thoughts are directed solely at what is good for my district. You know, it's maybe 90-10, 90% thinking about my district, 10% thinking about what's good for the city. We've got to push that percentage back a little bit. We've got to get something closer to 65-35 people thinking about their, you know, two-thirds, one-third, thinking about your district, thinking about what's good for the city, because we can't ever develop affordable housing, or we can't ever have effective housing policies if everyone's attitude is, yeah, we need a ton of it, just don't build it anywhere in my district. I mean, we can't do that. So that's something we have to work on. That's going to be a matter of having a council that's willing to put the city first more frequently. And I've talked to enough of your current colleagues, most of whom, a majority of whom have actually endorsed me in this race, because I've told them I will work with them in ways that allow us all to move the city forward. And with being, you know, sensitive to their politics and what goes on in their districts, we need them to be able to vote more in favor of what's good for the city as a whole. And this is one of those issues where they just have to think differently.
Councilman Griggs, do you need 30 seconds to respond about who did what?
I love working with people at Dallas City Hall and passing off the baton. That's what I'm known for. We're a team when we work up there, and that's why we're able to get done so much. And I'm honored to have been so part of so many teams and at times been the leader and consensus builder.
Okay, let's move on. Question from the audience. The question is, what's your plan to unite Dallas? I'm assuming this is north-south divide. So we'll start with Representative Johnson.
25 years ago, almost to the day, I gave a speech at the Morton H. Myers and Symphony Center at the Green Hill commencement where I talked about this exact issue. I was 18 years old, and I was aware then of how divided our city is because I lived it. I rode a bus every single day from the West Dallas Projects to Addison, Texas, where I was in a completely different world for 8 hours a day or longer once I got older and started playing sports and being in debate and being in theater. I was in the band. I loved Green Hill so much. I did every single activity they would let me do, and I didn't get home until 10 o'clock at night several nights when I was in school because I really absorbed everything I could. But what I learned from that experience is that people in this city are fundamentally the same, but we don't do the best job of connecting each other to one another. And so I've been trying to be a natural human embodiment of that bridge my entire life. And so as mayor, what I think is important is that you have someone who will speak to the entire city like it's a unified in city and like it's one city. It shouldn't be the case that you speak one way to Southern Dallas and tell them one set of things, try to rile them up and get them afraid of what's going on in North Dallas and talk about North Dallas like it's some scary different place. And then you run up to North Dallas and you talk about how you're going to lower their taxes all the time and the things you think they want to hear and playing sides against each other. All it does is contribute to this divide that you see on the council right now where there's all this conspiracy theory out there and this idea that there's an oligarchy out there that wants to take over our city and hand it over to the business interests and to North Dallas and to the rich folks. It's not real. It's not true. I've lived it. People are good people in the city. They want to work together. They want to accomplish great things for our city, and I'm going to help us do that, but we're not going to play any more of those games.
Councilman Griggs.
Yes. The city of Dallas, where we see that where we have to really bring things together is with respect to our concentrated areas of poverty. Poverty in the city of Dallas is growing. You could look back to the year 2000, and we had 18 concentrated areas of poverty, about 20 square miles. Over that decade from 2000 to 2010 into 2016, it grew to 36 concentrated areas of poverty, an area of over 40 square miles. By comparison, the city of Dallas is over 300 square miles. So 40 square miles is like putting a city the size of Carrollton inside the city of Dallas that's concentrated poverty, where too many of our residents, too many of our friends, too many people we know are living in abject poverty, where 40% of the people in these areas are in abject poverty. So we need to focus on bringing those areas up. And traditionally, back in 2000, most of them were in Southern Dallas, but now we see them everywhere. There's not a part of the city of Dallas that doesn't have concentrated pockets of poverty. And so what I intend on doing is first recognizing that, and recognizing that we need to spend our federal funds we're receiving on fighting poverty in these areas. When I was chair of the Housing Committee, we authorized a very interesting study. It's how have we been spending our money? And we looked at the data. So we brought out a map, and we got it, showed all the concentrated areas of poverty, and then where are we spending our money to fight poverty? And this study was released in the end of 2018. It was all the areas around the poor areas that we were spending our money to fight poverty. And so that needs to change. There's a huge inequity in the city of Dallas. So two things. We're going to spend our money to combat poverty in the areas of concentrated poverty. And then, because of how much inequity has happened in the past, we're going to go in there with infrastructure money and other funding and begin to lift these communities up with programs and services. That's how we're going to bring the entire city together, by focusing on the entire city, particularly our concentrated areas of poverty. Thank you.
Representative Johnson.
There's no question that there's a resource issue, and we have to spend money in areas where it's needed, but there's something bigger at play in the city that I've been talking about during the course of this campaign that's so important. And the city has to be united. We have to come together, and we have to understand that we really aren't two cities. People talk about it that way, but that's not the reality. People are the same on both sides of that river, and we have to get people talking to each other, and we have to actually move an agenda forward, and I can do that.
Okay. What specific plans, Councilman Griggs, does each candidate or does each of you have to combat the growing numbers of homeless?
Yes. Homelessness is a real issue in the city of Dallas. We have too many people experiencing homelessness. So what we've done is a multi-part plan. The first part of the plan is to look for public-private partnerships in the city of Dallas, where the city of Dallas can use, for example, zoning to build more capacity. We know we don't have enough capacity down at the bridge, and then we know we don't have enough capacity at the Salvation Army on Harry Hines. So a great thing that we did, and I think many of you were there, was the Dallas City Council approved the building of a $95 million facility that will be fully funded by the Salvation Army off of I-35 and Regal Road. It is going to be wonderful and add additional capacity for helping people experiencing homelessness. Another issue that we have to do is something that I talked about. We have to end source of income discrimination. We have so many voucher holders, veterans, and families that are holding a housing choice voucher. And because they're homeless, they oftentimes don't have the resources to find an apartment in the city of Dallas to accept the voucher. So the mobility assistance and master lease program I talked about before, we need to use that to identify units and apartment complexes in the city of Dallas, and the city of Dallas needs to actively help put people in experiencing homelessness in these apartments. And then we can connect them with counseling and wraparound services. Another big issue, in 2017, all of us approved a bond program with money to combat homelessness. The council this last week started to identify locations around the city of Dallas where we could put in additional facilities to help people experiencing homelessness. So I'm going to continue that work. And lastly, we need to address some of the causes of homelessness. That's with transportation. We have a DART system in the city of Dallas that's not working for so many people that are close to poverty. And wages. With the city of Dallas, when I got to the city of Dallas, initially wages for so many people were at federal minimum wage. We've raised them at the city of Dallas to $11 per hour. I want to raise it up to $15 per hour so people who work for the city of Dallas will not be in poverty. That's part of my plans.
Representative Johnson.
So I'm a strong proponent and believer in permanent supportive housing. I believe that I served on the board of the Metro Dallas Homeless Alliance before we built the bridge. I was on the board when we actually built it, when actually Mayor Rawlings was the chair of the MDHA board, so it's quite some time ago. And this issue of homelessness has been a persistent one in Dallas, and I believe permanent supportive housing is a critical aspect of the solution. But I also believe we need to change how we deal with the homelessness issue from a philosophical standpoint. We have to actually start asking tougher questions about how people got to become homeless and start actually trying to put people who can be put back with their families and things back with their families. It's a complicated answer, and I see already that we're down to 15 seconds because it's a rebuttal, so I'll have to answer that later.
I'm Chris Boyd, and you're listening to a special broadcast of the May 23rd Dallas mayoral debate between Dallas City Council member Scott Griggs and State Representative Eric Johnson. We'll return after a short break. I'm Chris Boyd, and today we're listening to a special broadcast of the May 23rd Dallas mayoral debate between State Representative Eric Johnson and Dallas City Council member Scott Griggs. The event was moderated by Sam Baker, host of KERA's Morning Edition. Let's return now to the Aaron Family Jewish Community Center.
Councilman Griggs, Dwayne Carraway recently entered prison. Carolyn Davis recently pleaded guilty to corruption, and unfortunately, they weren't the first members of the Dallas City Council that that's happened to. So how would you put a stop to this type of corruption?
I think here at the City of Dallas, we've had too much corruption, and we need to revise our plans for ethics and transparency at the City Hall. I have a multi-step process that I want to talk about. First is if you go back to Don Hill, Dwayne Carraway, Carolyn Davis, all of them were involved in what's called low-income housing tax credit projects. And with these tax credit projects, they were taking money from developers to push those projects forward. At the City Council, I would like to put a rule in place that developers who apply for low-income housing tax credit projects cannot talk to Dallas City Council members until the project comes before council in open session. That will be so important. Number two, is Dallas City Council members, I want us to start filing lobbyist reports about who lobbies us electronically. Number three, I call it follow the money. We need a single electronic database that has the council lobbyist reports in it, lobbyist reports from registered lobbyists, campaign finance reports, and equally important, statements of financial interests that appear. There are a single sheet of paper behind every item the council considers. It says who's going to make money on this item. And these documents are scattered across all these agendas. All that needs to be in a single electronic database that's searchable, so you can put in any name, any zoning case, and follow the money. Another part that I want to do is that too often the Dallas City Council goes into closed executive session. You've probably seen that, to talk about economic development deals. I want to record closed executive session. And then when there's no longer a reason to keep it secret, we should release it to the public. As a council member of the last 8 years, I've led a team and an effort at Dallas City Hall that now we put up every single council meeting and every single board and commission meeting is available on the internet and archived for you to watch. It's really improved transparency. Lastly, we need an office of professional responsibility at City Hall that can review campaign finance reports as they're filed and find any errors in them. If we do these steps, we will help mitigate corruption and improve transparency.
Representative Johnson.
I need a lot more time to answer this question, but I'll do the best I can. Number one, we absolutely need to reform our ethics code, but we can't have it reformed by someone who's been a part of this current system at all. It has to be completely redone by an outside group with outside attorneys, people who've looked at ethics codes, even our state ethics code, far, far superior to what we have in the city. It's cumbersome and there's no teeth to it. It's just, it is a disaster, and I will bring in outside groups, outside attorneys to look at the whole thing from top to bottom. We'll redo it. That's number one. The low-income housing tax credit program we talked about before, that actually has to be fixed in Austin. I'm not sure it will get fixed. I don't think it will get fixed this session in Austin because there was a vote that should have happened in our committee that didn't happen because of someone on our committee who should have been in favor of this who opposed it. I found out recently that we had an issue with a single vote from Dallas that we needed to deliver the ethics reform that we needed to solve this problem. The reality is only Austin can take the elected officials out of this program. Is that right? Do I have a whole minute? Or no, okay, I thought this was a rebuttal. Okay, so this is perfect. So here's the way this works. Austin created a regime where we actually assign points to elected officials like city council people to determine who gets these tax credits. It just so happens it's enough points to determine who wins or loses the contest. It's literally a decisive number of points in every case. So we've created a regime that's ripe for exploitation, and not surprisingly, it's been exploited. We can only fix this problem in Austin, and I tried to carry legislation this session in Austin to fix it. I'm just going to tell you the truth now. Let's just put it out there. We didn't have the votes from the one member that's actually supporting you, Mr. Griggs, who we needed to get that bill out of committee, and that's just the fact. We were one vote short of getting it out of committee, and that's why we didn't get it out. And I have no idea what that person was thinking, and I'm perfectly fine saying in a room full of people, it was extremely disappointing, and I kept my cool about it, but I was going to have to try to pull a parliamentary maneuver to get it done, and that's the reason why we don't have it this time.
Councilman Griggs, do you need 30 seconds for a rebuttal?
I'm proud. So far at the Dallas City Council 2 years ago, we had John Rogers, a former city attorney, one of the most ethical people in the city of Dallas, lead a commission to come up with ethics reform. Some of the great revisions that we did make is right now, if a council member or someone else is found guilty of an ethics violation, everything from a letter of reprimand to removal on the Dallas City Council, and if something criminal is involved, it's referred to the DA.
Okay. Representative Johnson, as interim director Sam Coates searches for a new CEO, what's your vision for Visit Dallas throughout the current organization or reform it?
Well, Visit Dallas has obviously been a troubled organization in terms of it's not what we would call a paragon of corporate governance. If you just look at, I saw a picture of the wall, they have the board members on the wall. I mean, it takes up, you know, half of this building's wall. I mean, it's got too many board members. The compensation seems a little out of line. I don't know that to be an absolute fact, but it seems a little high what we were paying the previous CEO. And so it's got some issues. And so I believe that we definitely need to reform the organization. But my personal opinion is this. I don't think that there's any criminal activity that was going on there. From what I've been told and what I've seen and what I've read, that the issue there is that it's been run not ideally, and it needs to be reformed. So I would be on the side of, and look, I wouldn't fight tooth and nail if someone wanted to do an RFQ of the process, but I don't think an RFQ is the most efficient way to turn this around quickly. I think that we can actually have Sam Coates bring in a CEO who knows what they're doing, and we can actually reform the organization by adopting new bylaws and actually reducing the size of the board, having a better functioning executive committee, and the city council has to own this, and you've been there for 8 years, and I'd have to say, part of this is on the council. We have to do a better job of actually checking in on all of our public-private partnerships over the course of the contract. It's not enough to say at the end of someone's contract or near the end, oh man, that was a terrible contract. Look, they weren't doing anything they were supposed to. Where's the periodic checking in? We should be looking in every year. We should be finding out what they're doing on a regular basis. We should have them before the council on a regular basis to account for what they're doing. So there are reforms that we can make that are not that complicated to get Visit Dallas operating the way it should be, but absolutely we can't bring that function in-house and have the government doing it. They're not going to be a good Convention and Visitors Bureau. We've been down that road before. We've tried it that way. It doesn't work very well. To be competitive with other cities, we need a public-private partnership like we have with an entity like Visit Dallas doing that work, and so that's what I would support.
Councilman Griggs.
Thank you. Is it 2 minutes?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Visit Dallas, we need to bring change to it. As I talked about before with Visit Dallas, the CEO is making $700,000 traveling around the world, competing in triathlons on our dime, and then he's also had that $400,000 unsecured loan, so there are huge changes, and it was really a culture also. They have a 55-member board, and they had a $250,000 suite at American Airlines, where if you were a good council member or someone in the community, you could get tickets to anything you wanted. It's a huge cultural issue. That's why I called them out. And several years ago, I started hearing issues about Visit Dallas. So I sent them requests for documents, and Visit Dallas took me down to Austin to the AG's office and got lawyers, and we ended up in a fight about whether or not they would turn over the documents to a council member. Unfortunately, I lost that fight, but then the auditor continued their great work of finishing their audit, and we found out they just don't have any metrics for who's going where and who's staying in what bed. Heads in beds, they call it, they're supposed to bring in for conventions, and they're not doing a good job on that. So Visit Dallas needs to be completely redone. I support Sam Coates coming in because we've seen him turn around Braniff. He turned around Slotskis. He's excellent at that. But then as our contract comes to an end in the next year, let's put it out for bid. The city of Dallas gets the greatest value when we put things out for competitive bid. And Visit Dallas is a private organization that many years ago bid on the contract. So why not see him reform and then actively compete? That's when we get the best taxpayer value. And I'm so proud of my work on Visit Dallas and for calling them out early and saying change needs to happen. I'm going to continue that effort as mayor. I want to protect your taxpayer dollars. With Visit Dallas, too, we ought to be taking 15% of the hotel occupancy tax and giving it to the arts, like all of our peer cities in the city and the state of Texas. That's why we're getting beat in the arts. So I look forward to doing that, too, with the hotel occupancy tax that funds Visit Dallas. Thank you.
One question from the audience. I found interesting here. What is the one issue that keeps you up at night, and what are your plans to resolve it? Councilman Griggs.
Public safety. This month of May, we've had more murders than we've had days in the month of May. We're down to 2,900 police officers. Before the pension crisis, we had 3,600 police officers. I served on the Dallas Police and Fire pension system, helped uncover the corruption, and then helped put together a solution to save the pension system, which kept the city of Dallas from going under. But in that process, we had so many police officers retire. So that's what keeps me up. We cannot get to raising pay and increasing benefits fast enough. We have to attract and retain more officers. That's why it's going to be a priority for me. Right now, on a priority one call, maybe the most important call you make in your life to the city of Dallas in 911, 50% of the time, there's not a Dallas police officer available to timely answer that call within 8 minutes. A priority two call, which could be domestic violence or someone breaking into your house, 2/3 of the time, we do not have a police officer available to timely answer that call. This is a huge issue, and we are experiencing a public safety crisis, and we must maintain this culture of safety in the city of Dallas that's so important to our neighborhoods, that's so important to our businesses. There are so many small businesses in this city that are calling about burglaries and other crimes that are going on, and we don't have the police resources to timely answer these calls. That needs to change. That's why that's priority number one for me. And we can do it. That is my number one issue. Thank you.
Representative Johnson.
Well, I have a wife, and I have two little kids, a five-year-old and a one-year-old. So the issue of crime and public safety is very important to me, too. But it's not the thing that keeps me up at night the most, believe it or not. It's not the thing I worry about the most. And I'll tell you why. Because I've been making policy for 10 years now in Austin. Complex issues. And what I found is that there are really two kinds of public policy problems. The kind where we can really get our arms around it and there's a finite problem and we know what we need to do to solve it and we just have to do it. That's sort of the police issue. The police, we know we need to hire more officers. We just got to find the money and do that. We can get our arms around that solution and we will do that. And I can tell you 4 years from now, if I'm mayor 4 years from now, we won't be in the exact same place we are right now in terms of crime. Crime waves come and go. They go up and down. Those things change, and they go. And depending on when you ask the question, people are feeling very safe or they're feeling less safe, depending on what kind of month we just had. Persistent, grinding, devastating poverty is what keeps me up at night, because that's the kind of public policy problem that keeps people who really understand how hard that is to move the needle on up at night. Because you can't just... There is no just one thing you can do or just some finite thing you need to do that you can get your arms around very easily to solve. Those are problems that take years to solve, and you have to make very important and very smart decisions to put things in place that you may never get credit for. I may never get credit for the things I'm able to put in place over the next 4 years, but it is my goal, it is my most important goal to put our city on a track where the southern part of our city and the northern part of our city are indistinguishable from one another. That's a serious problem that's going to take someone to lean in on for a long time.
Okay, we now move on to closing statements. As per the coin toss, we started with Mr. Griggs, so with closing statements, we begin with Representative Johnson.
My name is Eric Johnson, and I am a son of Dallas. And that is important to me because this city is in my heart. I love it, and I'm going to give every ounce of me and everything I have, every skill I've acquired, everything I've learned as a state legislator, everything I learned in my master's program in public policy, I'm going to apply to this job to do a great job for you. And what do I want to do for you? I do want to lower our taxes in the city because they're the highest in the state. I do want to deliver on hiring more police officers. I do want to make sure we're safe, but I also want to move the needle on poverty in this city, and I have a plan to do it. It's through our workforce. We have to develop the skills of the folks in this city so they can actually be prepared for the jobs of tomorrow. I have a track record of getting done what I say I'm going to do. If you don't believe that, just Google, look on the internet and see. When I've set my mind to a goal, I don't care what it is, removing a Confederate plaque from the walls of the Capitol that have been there for 60 years or whatever, it does not matter. I will get this job done for you. Thank you very much.
Councilman Griggs.
I'm Scott Griggs, and I would like to serve you as the next mayor of the city of Dallas. I'm a lifelong resident, and I absolutely love this city. And on day one, I'm ready to tackle our issues. On day one, I recognize what we have to do on public safety to have this culture of safety that we all want to maintain in this city. On day one, I know what we have to do to bring more economic development to southern Dallas, which is going to help us to lower our taxes throughout the city of Dallas. On day one, I know what we have to do on transportation to fix our streets right the first time. On day one, I'm ready to talk about DART and help DART move people who are so close to poverty timely so they don't have to go from a food desert and wait 4 hours to get to a grocery store or go to get to a job 2-3 hours, and that also for a pharmacy. And on day one, I'm ready to continue my work on the comprehensive housing policy to build the 20,000 units of housing we need today to help house the entire city. My name is Scott Griggs. Thank you for your attention tonight.
Dallas residents will go to the polls on June 8th to elect either Scott Griggs or Eric Johnson as the city's next mayor. Thanks today to the Jewish Community Relations Council of the Jewish Federation of Greater Dallas for hosting this debate. Once again, I'm Chris Boyd. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.